welcome back to the show.
Thank you much. Nice to be here.
Nice to have you. You know, Rick, when people go overtime, you know, mm-hmm. people like, say, Deborah Meyer, mm-hmm. he gets really angry at them. He starts to yell at them. I just want to yes. point out that I have not yelled at you for going over your minute
have
allotment
I gone over
for a
minute?
Long time.
Have you been timing me every week? I did not realize that.
No, actually, I don't have a watch anymore now that I have an iPhone.
All right. Well, maybe I've gone, 90 seconds once in a while, but usually I'm pretty good.
Well, what you got for us this week?
This week, we have results from the new NAEP history assessment. This is a 2010 report, just came out this week. It was last administered in 06. As most of our listeners know, this is a nationally representative test. It's test kids in 4th, 8th, and 12th grade, designed to measure their knowledge of American history as it relates to our democracy, economy, and changing world role. Anyway, here are the takeaways. The lowest achieving students and minorities made great gains. That's sort of the big headline. For instance, from 94 to 10 to 2010, 4th graders scored at the 10th percentile, posted a 22-point increase, which is kind of a big deal for those at the bottom. At grade 8, scores for Black and Hispanic students rose since 2006. At both grades 4 and 8, low-income students recorded higher average scores in 2010 than in both 2001 and 2006. Average scores for 8th graders rose, resulting in the highest score yet in 2010, and average scores for 4th graders rose since 06, but not statistically significant. Still, let's put this into a little bit of perspective. It's not all good news. 12th grade, as usual, pretty flat, not significantly different from 06. Only 12% of seniors and 20% of 4th graders scored at least proficient. Further, more than half of all 12th graders scored below basic. I was listening to Diane Ravitch this morning. She was talking about how our history achievement lags results for NAEP, for math, reading, science, civics, writing, geography, basically everything that we test, that the history is really low in terms of percentages of students scoring at proficient or advanced.
Well, lots to talk about. Let's dig in. Okay, now, first of all, these promising results for lowest achieving and minority kids, mm-hmm. Tracks what's happening on the reading scores as well. Mm-hmm. Right, we've seen big improvements for those groups, and the biggest improvement seemed to be in the late 90s, early 2000s. Mm-hmm. What's hopeful is that there's been some question, there's something weird about the NAEP reading test that showed these huge spikes in improvement. It's kind of been corroborated.
Okay.
It's been corroborated by these data, which is not a reading test per se, but that's right. You would assume that if kids can read better, they're going to A, learn more history, and B, be able to do better on a history test because they can read the test.
Yeah, and that's another point that Diane made this morning. I was listening to the webinar, and where she said, this could be about reading gains much more than history. And then I was reading some more commentary on it, and apparently, NAEP, because I got a lot of survey results as well in terms of time spent in various, instruction, and 45%, I jotted this down, 45% of 4th graders had teachers who spent more than 2 hours a week on social studies. It's not as if 4th graders are going to ton of of social studies instruction, mm-hmm. so it could very well have something to do with reading. They learned to read.
Yeah, because we do have data from other sources that does show at least some declines. I mean, it was never a lot to begin with in the elementary mm-hmm. grades spent on social studies, but that it's gone down some. Okay, let's think about this a second. Okay, the 8th graders, they are 13-year-olds about, mm-hmm. right? So when would they have been, say, kindergartners? It would have been about 8 years ago.
Right.
So that about 2002, 2003, right, as No Child Left Behind and Reading First was really gearing up. I mean, I don't know. Yeah. I think that there's some reason to believe that some of those reforms, the Reading First stuff, and in the late 90s, early 2000s, focused on scientifically based mm-hmm. reading instruction really is paying off for those kids.
I think it's a reasonable hypothesis. I mean, that's what some folks are saying about RTI, that's tied to, some really strong reading interventions, in terms of the how we're looking at, students with learning disabilities and the decreases we've mm-hmm. seen there. So I think there's something to be said. Reading First was obviously, huge initiative there. And I know when I was at Westat and was doing some Reading First evaluations that, people on the ground will tell you this is making a difference, by concentrating on these, phonemic awareness and phonics and all these things. So
right. Now, the 12th grade scores, I never know what to make of these 12th grade scores. Mm. I mean, one assumption is that the kids just aren't trying hard on the test. Is that the answer? Or otherwise, it just seems like everything we're doing in the K-12 system just washes out for those kids.
At 12th grade. I wish I had a hypothesis there. Mm. I just don't. Yeah, I mean, senioritis, I mean, hey, I mean, that's what people seem to think, but I just don't know.
Because more really kids are taking and passing the U.S. History AP exam.
Right.
Right now, that's a minority of the kids, but still.
Yep.
What to make of it? I guess I'm just in a mood this week where I want to believe that progress is being made. Otherwise, it's all just too depressing.
Yeah, I mean, there was this other little finding that was interesting that, and I forget which grade, where males were, you know, really outscoring females. And they were asking, you know, these panel of experts what they were making of that. And some folks were saying, well, there's a, you know, there's a lot of war, you know, in history. And boys like to study war and fights. And I'm like, okay. I mean, I just think it's funny because we all just come up with these hypotheses. And, you know, NAEP just can't answer these types of questions.
But, clue.
You know.
But we did find, our reviewers have found that the NAEP history framework is very good, and that it tests solid content stuff you'd want kids to know. So, you know, the fact that we know that most kids are not proficient in history, that is disturbing. Okay, so what goes along with this?
All right, the past couple weeks, you have not been happy with my songs. I've kind of picked up on that. So I'm hoping.
I mean, your 6 degrees of separation between your.
The Welcome Back, Carter, and the Gifted Kids last week. So since we're talking history, we've got lots of historical references in Billy Joel's We Didn't Start the Fire.
Truman, Doris Day, Red China, Johnny Ray, South Pacific, Walter Winchell, Joe DiMaggio, Joe McCarthy, Richard Nixon, Studebaker, Television, North Korea, South Korea, Marilyn Monroe. Rockefeller, Campanella, Communist Bloc.